And now, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and welcome to today's show. Well, with Halloween behind us, we thought we would be the first ones to wish you happy holidays. Okay, folks, it's a joke. We're not going to be playing Christmas music till December. Just having a little fun here today. But I do want to talk about what's coming up in the weeks ahead, and I'll be speaking about, for sure, inexpensive, high-quality wines for holiday entertaining. You're going to hear that piece on one of the segments on our show. And then as we near the end of November, I'm going to also host a segment where I'm going to talk about classic wine gift ideas. These are the kind of gifts that don't get put in a drawer and, you know, left there for the rest of their lives. They're ones you actually can use, believe it or not. So we'll be doing that. You'll be able to follow it on the show and, of course, on our social media. And you can always listen to the podcast. That's a great way to catch up on all our recommendations while you're out shopping in the next few weeks for the holidays. Now, remember, on December 7th, we launch our annual Sparkling Wine Guide at Gismondi on Wine. You just have to sign up for our free newsletter. We're going to be reviewing close to 100 champagnes and more than 100 sparkling wines. We do that every year, and we put that out for you, so you'll usually find something that excites you when it comes to sparkling wine. Now, on the show today, Vancouverite Andrea Vescovi, he joins us as the ambassador for Ethica Wines. That's an Italian-owned Miami-based distributor that represents multiple top Italian wineries, such as today's topic, Casa Emira Fiore. Now, also, we thought today, with tickets for the 2024 Vancouver National Wine Festival featuring Italy as the theme region going on sale on November 15th, that we would head over to Piedmont and to learn a little bit about Barolo, in particular Mirafiori, and the estate's history, which dates back to, believe it or not, 1878. Now, think about this. Emmanuel Alberto Guerrieri, he was the Count of Mirafiori. He's the son of the first King of Italy and the founder of Mirafiori, with his estates in Barolo and Fontana Freda. They're still there today. He was a noble farmer entrepreneur, and he dedicated himself to wine with an absolutely modern approach, along with a lot of commitment to fine grape growing and wine making. So we'll cover all that in today's show with Andrea. And it'll be great for you to catch up with him. Many of you will know him from his time at Blue Water Cafe. Also on the show today, David Lorison. He joins us. He's an educator, wine advisor for the Great Kitchen Party. We're going to talk about some of the things going on in the BC, in the Canadian wine business, and we're going to talk about some new wineries in British Columbia. We'll take you up the East Coast to New Zealand's North Island. Craggy Range is a family-owned winery situated in the shadow of the spectacular Te Mata Peak. We're going to talk with Julian Grounds, the chief winemaker, about Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. But up next, hello, Vancouver Island. Brendan Bankowski, food and beverage manager, Oak Bay Beach Hotel. He joins us to talk about the Victoria food and wine scene, as well as all the holiday things going on at the Oak Bay Beach. Now, this is the BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and we are set to go.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Clos du Soleil makes wines that speak of the Similkameen soil where their grapes are grown and the souls of the people who call this valley their home. Winemaker Michael Clark and his team specialize in wines that blend Bordeaux grape varieties with their unique mountainous terroir. The result is wines that are elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, wild places, soulful wines. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
Celebrate the holidays in style at the Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos. Join other small businesses on December 15th for a holiday party featuring local entertainment and a festive gourmet buffet. Or host your own private event for your team. And when the celebrations are over, just take the elevator home back to your room with their special holiday party rates. You can find out more by emailing sales@watermarkbeachresort.com or call 250-495-5511.
Penticton, the hub of the South Okanagan. A place to relax, take your time, and enjoy the beautiful autumn weather and world-class wine and culinary scene. With over 90 wineries within a 20-minute drive, along with distilleries and cideries, 8 local craft breweries, and a fantastic variety of locally sourced restaurants, Penticton is the perfect destination for a peaceful fall getaway. For details on wineries, tours, tasting room, and restaurant hours, and for more trip inspiration, head to visitpenticton.com.
It's time to think turkey. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein, and you can't forget the leftovers. With a great meat-to-bone ratio, you get a great value and multiple meals. So the next time you're wondering what to serve, think turkey. Find recipes, info, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia, and welcome to the show. And a shout out to CFAX 1070 in Victoria and all 25 cities in total listening across the province on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Our guest is Brendan Benkowski. He's the food and beverage manager at the Oak Bay Beach Hotel in Victoria. Brendan, welcome back to the show. How are you today?
I'm fabulous today. Thanks for having me.
It's great to catch up with you. I know if it isn't a busy time of the year, it's going to get real busy real soon for the holidays. And maybe this will be the first great stretch after the pandemic for holiday celebrating.
We like our chances. I think so. It's lining up to be a fabulous holiday season.
Yeah. Just before we start, I thought, well, why don't we ask you a little bit about Victoria? Because maybe let's talk a bit about the hotel. Do you guys get together with concierge and decide, okay, if we're going to recommend a place, this is where we want to send our guests? Like, how does that work if I'm a guest at the Oak Bay Beach?
Well, I guess it happens a little bit organically, but we're pretty lucky. We obviously have a clientele from all over the province, the country, the planet at some times. So great restaurants like to have people who know what they're doing in them. So we sometimes the restaurants reach out to us and sometimes we reach out to them. So we get a little bit of a insider's deal on the whole thing.
Yeah. And you get out once in a while.
That's right. Yeah. I get to take advantage of that. Absolutely. There's a brand new restaurant in town called Merlina, which is one of the top table companies. And we got to slide down there before they opened for their friends and family event. So we get a little sneak peek. And then, truthfully, I've been back a couple of times since then. Fabulous restaurant.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Merlina.
Merlina. I think there's a new benchmark for fine dining in Victoria. It's unbelievable. It would not be out of place in New York or Los Angeles.
Wow, that's a great recommendation. And a fine dining one, because it's kind of been a tough hole for fine dining. It seems, people are so casual now when they're dining out.
Yeah, I think the pandemic has maybe changed dining habits substantially, actually. And it's nice to see, white linen and frette, and there's a sommelier in house, and it's you'd like the wine list, and seafood towers and wagyu beef. It's fabulous. Fabulous.
That's great. Great. Our guest is Brendan Benkowski. He's the food and beverage manager at the Oak Bay Beach Hotel. And we're starting out just talking about a few places in Victoria. Maybe give us a couple more before we move back into the hotel.
Yeah, I was lucky enough this weekend to go to a place called Ugly Duckling. Like Merlina, it's on the en route list of best new restaurants in Canada this year. And it's a tasting menu. It's in Chinatown in an old heritage building. And 7 courses of Chinese-influenced fun. Absolutely fabulous. BC wine pairings.
Yeah, I love that. And I don't know, in all your experience, have you ever sat in a room where somebody said we should call our restaurant the Ugly Duckling?
Hey, I don't. I make no judgment on names of restaurants. I've been involved in naming a few. That is not the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah,
right. And that one is memorable. I will say that, definitely memorable. But yeah, if you're downtown in Chinatown, it's kind of tucked away. It's this beautiful little spot. It's it's clearly chef driven and local. Ingredients, they are doing absolutely their own thing. The first course is tofu, and they move into foie gras by the end. And I will say the one thing that I loved, loved, loved when I was there were the baked apples and miso ice cream. Can't go wrong.
Okay. And what about one we could walk to from the Oak Bay Beach Hotel?
Well, we're not exactly walkable. I think that's one of the things we love here at the hotel. We're tucked out on the corner out in Oak Bay. You could walk down into the Oak Bay Village, and there's a vis-a-vis and a classic pub and a couple of great spots. But if you're looking for a little bit more serious dining, either here at the hotel, I think, works, or downtown. There's another fabulous place I'd like to tell you about.
Okay.
It's called End Dive, kind of like an end dive, but it's the most Victoria place I've been in a long time. It's a self-proclaimed dive bar with
I love it.
Obviously very heavy on the kitchen influence. It's an open kitchen. It's owned and operated by the kitchen guys. They have their own farm, and it's almost entirely vegetables and seafood. When I was there, no meat to be found. Anyway, it's like being in somebody's kitchen party. Loved it.
Yep.
As the kids say, the vibes were immaculate.
The vibes were immaculate. And it's very Victoria, so we like that. Okay, Victoria. Back to the Oak Bay Beach. So we've been, we love your winemaker series. They're always so interesting. Now, you've got one left. So let's start with that coming up from really one of the hidden gems of sparkling wine production in British Columbia with Bella Wines. What's happening? When will that be?
Next Thursday night, and I know that there is still 6 tickets available. It's, Bella. You know Bella. They're fabulous. They're sparkling. They're all natural. They do a fabulous job, and they're the last wine dinner of our series for the fall, and then we'll put it to bed and get serious about Christmas and then start it back up in the spring again.
Yeah. Just for our listeners, Lucky Lime Oysters, Dungeness Crab, Citrus Salad, Handmade Squash Ricotta Ravioli, and Free Range Organic Chicken with a Mushroom Risotto.
Yeah.
Wow. Before we even get
Craig
to dessert.
Chef and his team getting serious.
Yeah. Do you get to be at that, or do you...
Yeah, I do, actually. I have a reserved seat on those. I haven't made every one of them, but I certainly find the ones I can. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Our guest is Brendan Bankowski. He's the food and beverage manager at the Oak Bay Beach Hotel. So what have you got planned for the holidays? I know you have stuff for kids, and what are some of the things you're going to be rolling out and that people can check out?
We do all kinds of crazy things. The hotel is definitely embraces the holiday season. We do everything from as kids. Yeah, we have breakfast with Santa. I think there's five different mornings where there's breakfast with Santa, and that's I think we sold out those pretty quick, so we're adding a couple more dates on that. We do movie night, so we show classic Christmas films, and
come
down for a pizza, and then head into our theater, watch a movie.
Yeah.
We have our iconic Christmas brunch. We have Christmas dinner in the Snug Pub. We have Christmas dinner in our dining room. There's a whole lot going on.
Wow. Wow, and you got a holiday pianist. I like that. You can just sit in the lounge, listen to some music, maybe have a glass of wine.
Yeah, we were working on some mulled wine recipes yesterday. I think we're going to make that the pianist is nice. If you've ever been to the hotel, it overlooks I'm looking at it right now, the Salish Sea across our pool. It's a beautiful spot to have a drink and celebrate with friends.
So gorgeous. And what about the big day, Christmas Day? Christmas Day dinner, brunch, is all that on at the hotel as well?
Yeah, so we save bookings till December 1st for the people in-house for our Christmas Day brunch and our Christmas Day dinners, which are two. But on December 1st, we unleash that to the public, and every year before noon, it's sold out. So if anybody wants to join us for a Christmas dinner with all the fixings, We got a couple of options, but and if you're not staying with us, we still would love to have you. December 1st is your day online.
Yeah, that sounds good. Also, and I mean, I don't really want to rush the season. It's such a great time, but then there's New Year's as well, and New Year's Eve, is that a big event at the hotel?
Yeah, absolutely. We do a champagne dinner, and that's, truthfully, it's the chef's favorite event of the year because it's all about the sparkling, the real serious bubbly from all around the best producers, and he gets to match that with his five courses. It's a great night, and again, a little live music. Can't go wrong.
Well, that's fantastic. How are you, like, for people that want to stay at the hotel now, how does it look for the holiday season? Do they have to get going on that and get booked in?
It's about that time you should pull the trigger. I think once Halloween hits, I think everybody's focus sort of shifts to the now that we're through Halloween, you focus on the holidays, and I know we are filling up fast here with rooms and still a little bit of space available for our culinary events, but now's the time.
Yeah. And just for maybe people who don't know the Oak Bay Beach Hotel, how many rooms, how many restaurants do you have? And maybe just walk us quickly through what's available in the hotel.
The Oak Bay Beach Hotel, it's about 15 minutes from downtown Vancouver, or downtown Victoria.
Victoria,
we are
an
independent hotel, 100 rooms exactly. We have multiple places to eat and drink. We have a little pool bar down hanging off the edge of the sea here. There's a place to grab all kinds of things. We have a formal dining room that we run on the weekends with a set menu. We have a snug pub that's been on this land in some version for almost 100 years.
Yeah.
And we have a pizza joint on the front of the hotel called Faro.
Yeah. Lots to do for people, and such a beautiful place to just relax, honestly, if you have a few days and you have the time. I couldn't recommend a better place to spend some time.
Yeah, we had you out here last summer. We'd love to get you out here again.
Yeah, I'm ready. I don't know. I have to wedge it into my schedule, but believe me, I want to. Listen, it's so great to catch up with you, Brendan. And for our listeners, the oakbaybeachhotel.com is where you would go to book any of the events we've been talking about or get yourself a room and spend a few days there and explore Oak Bay and explore downtown Victoria while you're there. It's the perfect match. Thank you so much, Brendan.
Anthony, great to talk to you. Thank you.
Yeah, always great to talk with you. That was Brendan Benkowski. He's the food and beverage manager at the Oak Bay Beach Hotel in Victoria. Still ahead, Julian Grounds. He's the chief winemaker at Craggy Range. He joins us to talk about New Zealand Chardonnay. Not just Sauvignon Blanc, but Chardonnay. On the radio weekly in 25 cities across British Columbia and on demand on all the major podcast platforms, this is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and this is Destination Langley, BC. Our guest is Erin Credba. She's the executive director at Tourism Langley. Erin, Langley's home to a variety of sports teams, and some are just starting their season.
That's right, Anthony. Hockey has started in Langley, and we have four different hockey teams that offer the opportunity to enjoy a game.
Four hockey teams. Can you explain a bit about the differences between them?
Of course, perhaps the most well-known team is the Vancouver Giants, who play in the Western Hockey League, and home games are played at the Langley Events Center.
Okay, that leaves three more teams. What about them?
Correct. We have the Langley Rivermen, Langley Trappers, and Aldergrove Kodiaks, who play at the Junior A hockey level. Now, while they are at a different level of hockey than the WHL, these games are an equally fun way to spend an evening in Langley.
Well, it sounds like a great way for hockey fans in BC to cheer on the home team while they're visiting Langley at the same time.
it is a great idea. And there are plenty of accommodation options, and visitors can spend some time beyond the rink exploring Langley shops, restaurants, wineries, craft breweries, and more.
What a fun way to spend a few days taking in the best of Langley.
Yes, Fort Langley is full of locally owned boutique shops and local farm shops.
And I imagine the restaurant options are equally diverse.
Yes, there are fine dining options like Bacchus Bistro at Chaberton Estate Winery or Saba Bistro, plus cozy cafes and coffee shops and local favorites like Haven Restaurant or the Barley Merchant. And those are great stops before you catch a game.
And as always, there's complete details for these events on your website.
That's right.
Erin, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Anthony. Talk to you next time.
For more information, go to tourism-langley.ca. For Destination Langley, BC, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. We're back. It's been a great year here at BC Food and Wine Radio. Our reach around the province is now 25 cities weekly, and the conversations we've had this year have been stellar. We recall a one-on-one earlier this summer, his winter, with Julian Grounds. He's the chief winemaker at New Zealand's famed Craggy Range, one of the next generation stars of the international wine world. Join us now as we reconnect. Julian, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Anthony. It's great to be there.
Yeah, it's really great to talk to you. It's been a while, but before we even start, I want you to just sort of set the stage for our listeners and tell them where Craggy Range is and what you're all about there.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're actually located in the North Island of New Zealand, and the winery and hospitality venue is based in Hawke's Bay. So if you look at the east coast of New Zealand, there's effectively a big bite out of the coast, and that's where we are. And we also have a major vineyard down in the region of Martinborough, which is about an hour east from our nation's capital, Wellington. So beautiful parts of the world. It's everything you can imagine, mountains and crystal clear water.
Yeah. And, last time we talked to you, you were just sort of getting going at Craggy Range. You've been there for a while. You've got a couple more vintages under your belt. What are you discovering about the place perhaps that you didn't know going in?
Oh, I think, as you mentioned, it was probably back in 2019 where we've kind of first spoke. So we've had some, since then, had some incredible harvests. And I think the thing that really shines out is that New Zealand is just a perfect place for growing grapes, in particular the cool climate varietals.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that, you know, Craggy Range is a very, very special winery. And you know, we've been fortunate enough to have a huge level of investment in the vineyards. And I think that we truly do make some globally unique wines. Mm.
Now, you know, in this part of the world, New Zealand's very famous for Sauvignon Blanc and now some Pinot Noir, but a lot of it is from down south, from Marlborough, but you're further north in Martinborough and Hawke's Bay. What can you tell us about those regions? Why is Craggy focused on them, and what sets them apart, say, from vineyards down south?
Yeah, it's interesting. So Craggy Range is coming up towards its 25th vintage. And in our infancy, whilst we planted in Hawke's Bay and in Martinborough, we also made some wine from the South Island. So we're quite familiar with those areas. But ultimately, we wanted to settle on our estate vineyards, which are now coming up to 20 years old. And the region of Martinborough is a little bit cooler than Marlborough, so we think that it gets a bit more finesse into the wine. But really, more importantly, it's a bit lower yielding. So you just get lower crops and a bit more intensity. And we find it's a really unique style of Sauvignon, and the Pinot follows along. And interestingly, it's actually some of the oldest Pinot Noir vines in New Zealand are in the Martinborough region.
Yeah. Well, we sure enjoy these wines here, and we're actually enjoying the sophistication, I guess. I think Craggy's always been sophisticated, but the way that Sauvignon Blanc is evolving and the way that people are pursuing, can I say, more of a terroir-based wine than just a grape varietal.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't agree more. And you know, sophistication, you actually really touched on a point that's incredibly important to us, and that comes in by way of how we blend the wines, but also, more importantly, how we grow the fruit in the vineyard. And we're making sure that We keep all the plots separate. And the thing that people, you wouldn't be able to see without getting here, but the vineyards are surrounded by beautiful mountains and these amazing terraces with quite large gravel stones. So there is a real reflection of place in the wines. And then we use things like barrel fermentation to really add intrigue to the palate. But an incredible, important point for me is that people really want to have that second glass. And that's when you know that you've got a great Sauvignon.
Yeah. And what about, what can you tell us? By the way, we're speaking with Julian Grounds. He's the chief winemaker for Craggy Range. What can you tell us about the farming and the growing of grapes? What we know that we hear a lot about New Zealand being green. How green is Craggy?
Yeah, no, and it is. And I mean, it's green to the eye, but you can tell you that. It's a beautiful part of the world to come in summer. No, I think, you know, we are like everyone else who is acutely aware of the importance of heading towards a sustainable future. And so we began our path in organics 3 years ago. And in addition to heading towards organic certification, we've also planted huge areas around the vineyard which weren't deemed suitable for grapes with native New Zealand plants. And for us, that's incredibly important as a carbon sink, you know, sequestering carbon, but also, you know, removing that monoculture of vineyards and creating a spot for biodiversity. So that's a really important part of our future, is having a diverse species within the vineyard.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about a couple of wines today before we run out of time. One is the Sauvignon Blanc Craggy Range Te Muna. This is out of Martinborough, which ranges around $32 across British Columbia. I mean, this is just such an outstanding wine. What can you tell us about Te Muna and this Martinborough wine?
Yeah, so it's 100% estate fruit off our vineyard that was planted in early 2000s. It's incredibly, with this vineyard, one of the most incredible aspects of it is I actually make about 40 different Sauvignons to blend up this wine.
Wow.
So effectively, yeah, so it's almost like making the base wine of house champagne, you know, like in terms of that consistency of style. And then we have some that's then goes into barrel fermentation, about 10%. And I think that probably gives you that kind of mid-palate roundness to the wine.
Yeah.
And ultimately, what we're looking for is a wine that's quite saline and citrus, but has a really beautiful length through it.
Yeah. You mentioned style. Is there a Craggy style in your mind, or are you reshaping that style? How does that work when you're a new winemaker going in?
Yeah, the ultimate driver is make sure you keep your job, Anthony.
Yeah, I like that. I don't think there's any problem with that, but go ahead.
No, so I think if we were to touch on the style, I think it's purity would be the one word I'd look for. So we don't want, you know, too many arms and legs. We're looking for something that's really pure, and that gives that expression of the variety.
Yeah. Is there any way you could compare it? I mean, I know a lot of people here know something about Sancerre. They know something about Chilean Sauvignon Blanc. Where would you place your Sauvignon Blanc in that sort of spectrum of flavors?
Yeah, I think Sancerre, but maybe with a little bit less of the oak impact, is probably a really good comparison.
Yeah. We're speaking with Julian Grounds. He's the chief winemaker for Craggy Range. I want to talk to you also about Pinot Noir, New Zealand Pinot Noir, which I think over-delivers in a general sense in price and quality. But what is your take on Pinot and where you're at? We see it being grown all over New Zealand. What can you tell us about what's happening in the north?
Yeah, I mean, I agree entirely in terms of over-delivering. You know, if you look at in the world, there's only so many places outside of Burgundy where Pinot can grow. And we think that New Zealand, and in particular the Martinborough region, is one of the best places to grow Pinot Noir. And that's because it's got very long sunlight hours. It doesn't get too hot. Mm-hmm. And in terms of clones, we have a huge selection of clones. So again, like the Sauvignon, you know, for 31 hectares of Pinot, I make 50 wines, 50 different wines in the fermentation area. So it's a really kind of, in terms of the style of Pinot Noir that people might be expecting from New Zealand, try to think of a really beautiful aromatic style and something that has a very balanced alcohol. So you're never going to see huge alcohols in our Sauvignon. It's a very kind of pure and expressive style.
I love these discussions because I know that our listeners, so they buy a bottle of Pinot Noir and they drink it, but they don't really, they're not thinking that there was 40 or 50 different lots of wine that went into the selection of that wine. That really focuses even my attention on the wine, thinking, wow, these guys are not leaving any stone unturned. Good for you for doing that. And, well, we can hope you can keep doing that at the same price.
Yeah, no, and I think anyone who knows that people that grow Pinot Noir, it's the most, one of the most fickle varieties. And I think, you know, that what I just told you before is probably just a reflection of our attention to detail to make sure that these wines are, you know, a best representation of they can be.
Yeah. Finally, we're almost out of time, but I've always thought that Chardonnay was really overlooked by consumers, Chardonnay coming out of New Zealand. How are you making out with Chardonnay? Because there's nothing like a great Chardonnay.
Yeah, no, and we know we are one of the more prominent exporters of Chardonnay from the region and from New Zealand. And well, I agree with you entirely. I think anywhere that you grow Pinot Noir, you should be able to grow great Chardonnay. And if anything, we've suffered from the fact that there's a lot of great Chardonnay out there. But I think climatically, as we move into the future, New Zealand is one of the best places in the world to grow Chardonnay.
Yeah. Julian, such a pleasure to talk to you. And I love drinking your wines. I love tasting them, but I love drinking them even more. I hope we see you in Vancouver soon. It'd be great to have a conversation here or maybe over there as well.
Yeah, great. And then you can take me back to that beautiful sushi place that we went.
Yeah, always.
A few years ago.
It's yeah, still there.
Love to. Thanks. So yeah. Great to talk.
Thanks, yeah. Julian. Have a great day.
Yes, bye-bye.
That was Julian Grounds, chief winemaker, Craggy Range. Still to come, David Laurison, wine journalist, educator, and wine advisor for the Great Kitchen Party. David joins us to talk about some burning national wine issues. On the radio weekly or on demand, anytime on all the major podcast platforms. This is BC Food Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Penticton, a perfect place for a romantic escape this fall. Stop in for a visit to one of almost 100 area wineries. Enjoy the quieter time of year with an intimate wine tasting for two, sample some Okanagan vintages, and take in the beautiful colors of fall. Dine out and experience delicious, locally sourced restaurants, too. It's the ideal destination for an autumn getaway with that special someone. Before you go, make sure to check the website for information on vacation packages and upcoming events. Go to visitpenticton.com.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Take your wine appreciation to the next level and become a rebel. Welcome to the Rebel Club at Liber Estates. As a Rebel member, you'll enjoy a regular shipment of exemplary Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings and VIP treatment at the winery and more. And with the ease and convenience of online ordering, your wine will be shipped straight to your door. Discover more at liberestates.com. Simply great wines.
Discover award-winning wines in the stunning Okanagan Valley at Tinhorn Creek Winery, the ultimate destination for wine lovers. Enjoy relaxed tasting experiences featuring premium wines sourced from the Golden Mile, or embark on a one-of-a-kind sensory adventure with a black glass blind tasting. And for delicious Mediterranean-inspired cuisine made with locally sourced ingredients, Mirador Restaurant is waiting. Good food, great wine, unforgettable memories. Tinhorn Creek Winery. Visit tinhorn.com.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. Welcome back. Joining us now is David Laurison. Dave, of course, is a longtime wine journalist, educator, currently wine advisor for the Great Kitchen Party, and of course runs the wine show over at Wine Align. David, how are you today?
I'm just fine, Tony. Things are pretty good.
You're pretty good. You've been sort of hip-hopping across the country with the Great Kitchen Party.
Yeah, we're right in the middle of the program now. I'm off to Calgary tomorrow, one in Toronto next week. I was out in Vancouver last week. We did that at the on the field level at BC Place, which was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Did you kick any converts or like that was quite an interesting venue.
I know. It was gigantic, and it ended up it was one of those classic Vancouver rainy days and quite cool, and we actually had fog on the inside of the building. But
oh well. Only in Vancouver. You know what they say, any time is a good time to drink wine.
That's right.
Well, I thought we'd start today. Like, we've been hearing, we're sitting here, we have, you know, half the normal crop in British Columbia, and I've been hearing that there's quite a surplus of grapes in Ontario this year, and I'm wondering, well, why aren't these two provinces talking to each other? Could we not be sharing grapes when we had to, or if they have too many and we don't have enough, or vice versa?
Well, that would seem to be very, very logical. I don't recall that ever happening before, actually.
Yeah. I don't recall much logical about the Canadian wine business, but there you go.
Yeah, but I mean, it's an interesting idea, I guess one of the immediate difficulties would be, what do you call it? Because, you know, VQA is a provincial designation. There's an Ontario VQA and BC VQA.
Yeah.
So if you had a wine that was blended from two
both
provinces, I'm not sure. It probably couldn't be VQA. So,
no, it would be a non-international blend.
That's
how's
right.
That for a dig.
Yeah, that's good.
But actually, people probably don't understand, and I still to this day do not understand why VQA is not a national standard instead of a provincial standard. You know, like, just it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it is crazy. And you know, when VQA was first put together back in the late 80s and early 90s, there were lots of discussions, and actually much of it led by Harry McWaters, about trying to create K1 standards and trying to create a Canadian VQA umbrella. But it just has gone right off the rail since then, and no one's really picked it up, which is kind of unfortunate. Because, you know, there's so many new wineries across Canada. We've got wineries in like six provinces. You know, our industry is growing. It's getting bigger. The wines are getting better. There needs to be some kind of Canadian oversight on this whole thing.
I mean, we are the best in the world at shooting ourselves in the foot when it comes to, you know, sort of regulating what's going on. In any event, we need one national standard. We need to be able to sell wine in every province. Every producer should be able to sell his wine across Canada. We got to get rid of these barriers. We've been saying it forever. Yeah. You know what's going to happen, Dave? They're going to get rid of us soon, and things are going to carry on the way that things will carry on the way they've always been. All right, let's talk about something positive. By the way, I'm speaking with David Lorison, wine journalist out of Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And Dave, let's talk a little bit about some of the new wineries. I know you've been sort of specializing in discovering new wineries. Well, tell us about that, and like, what are you seeing? Like, I know that they're so different than what a new winery was, you know, 25 years ago.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I'm just about to turn in an article to WineLine on that very topic, and it's called the 12 Most Promising New Wineries of 2023. Oh. I visited them all. I've been in the Okanagan three times since June, and I've obviously been in Ontario. And there's some really interesting new projects that are coming on after sort of post-COVID with very, very high-quality wines. The pricing is premium to super premium. I mean, $100 bottles, you know, in Niagara now are quite common in some of these new projects. And the wine's good. I mean, they're drilling way down into clones and rootstocks and, you know, being very, very patient on how they plant and, you know, getting really smart about it all. And the wines are starting to become really good.
Yeah. So, and which you should do if you're charging $100, no stone left unturned.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
So
what about,
worth it, you know?
Yeah, we're in 25 cities across British Columbia here on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Can you give us one new one in BC that you'll be talking about? Or?
Yeah, I can give you two or three, actually.
Okay.
One is called Code, C-O-D-E, just as it sounds. And this is a great little project in Okanagan Falls. They've got a very steep slope, west-facing slope right above the town. You can see it as you drive into downtown Okanagan Falls. It's all organic.
We use that term loosely, Dave, downtown Okanagan Falls.
I know.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, they got Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and a terrific Syrah, one of the best Syrahs that I've tasted out of BC. It's all very young vine stuff, but the winemaking is really, really good. And just such a good ethos about the whole thing. Another one that's very, very similar, it's called Silvero in Summerland. It's in the Garnet Valley, which is this beautiful little valley. Boy, if I ever wanted to live somewhere in BC, that's where I'd go.
You and I visited that winery during the National Wine Awards.
We did. Well, we tasted their wines. We didn't actually get to the winery.
And well, that's
so,
true, yeah.
So impressed by the winery. And again, Pinot Gris, Chardonnay, a little bit of Gamay and Pinot Noir. But again, steep slopes, just really great winemaking and, you know, very, very impressive. There's another little one that I ran across on the Black Sage bench that doesn't have quite the quality aspiration of those two, but it's called Here's the Thing. Have you heard of that
one? Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. So they're just down from Bartier.
That's right. And Michael Bartier is actually making the wine there.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, and so the wine's pretty good. It's a slightly different style from what he does, but it's just this lovely little sort of yellow farmhouse winery thing. Very simple. They only sell out of their tasting room or to their wine club. They're not in restaurants. They're not in retail. And I thought, what a lovely way to run a business, you know, and just hope it's profitable. And the wines are good. So
now, David Lorison, if you and I were sitting in the room when that winery was conceived and they said to us, hey, we're going to call it Here's the Thing, what would you vote for that?
I was a bit, you know, still a bit taken aback by the name, but there's such whimsy about the whole place. Once you go there, it's so whimsical that it kind of fits, you know.
Whimsy. All right.
Yeah.
Well, those are three great ideas for people to check out here in British Columbia. I want to move on to another topic that we haven't really discussed much about, but of course we're reading day in and day out how young people aren't drinking any wine. Everybody's going to low alcohol products. Notice I said product, not wine, and that's my question.
Yes.
Can you have a non-alcoholic wine? Like, can it be wine if it's non-alcoholic? Like, this drives me nuts.
I don't think so.
I
think wine is defined by having some alcohol in it. I mean, you could have non-alcoholic grape juice, I guess, you know, non-alcoholic Chardonnay or Cabernet, but
I'm saying
wine, technically.
I have no problem. I wish everybody well, but get your own name. Stop screwing around with the name wine. Like, if there's no alcohol in it, it's not wine. Like, it's just,
That's just right.
Ripping off the wine business and ripping off unsuspecting customers too. And, you know, we get so many regulations, but we never get the ones we really want. Which is stop using the word wine.
I'm being approached fairly often. I'm being approached fairly often now to taste, you know, non-alcoholic wines.
Yeah.
And for some reason, my heart isn't in that. I don't really want to do it. You know.
I say to them, I'm an expert tasting wine. You need to get someone who doesn't taste wine with alcohol in it to judge these wines because it doesn't make any sense for us to do it. But what about young people, Dave? It's an age-old story. They always have trouble at the start. What do you think about all this business of dry January and not drinking? Is that our fault? Like, we're writers. We're the guys talking about
No, I don't think so. And I do think that the movement away from alcohol is probably a little stronger now than it ever has been in my career. Starting to hear about it more mainstream, and wine sales are down sort of globally as well. So I think it's happening. I'm not sure it's entirely a youth-driven thing that's part of it.
No.
But, I think the messaging coming through about, you know, the dangers of alcohol and all this kind of thing is starting to have an effect on people. They're just feeling a little less comfortable with it. So
Dave, is misinformation like everything else online. It's really depressing to see that kind of stuff going on. I always say, well, I know what I want to drink, so I guess I'll probably, stick to that.
And that's kind of how I feel too, Tony. I mean, I'm in this because I love good quality wine. I love the story of it. I love how it's made, people and all that. And I don't think there's enough of that kind of wine being made in the world that we ever have to worry about people not buying it. You know what I mean? It's pretty small potatoes in the wine business, and, you know, the wines that we're interested in. So I'm just going to keep going and do what I do and not worry about it.
Okay. And you're not going to buy a winery either, right? Please tell me you're not.
I am not going to buy it. No. Yeah. No. I promised myself at the outset that I would never make wine or pick grapes. So
I'm with you. David, always great to catch up with you. Now, the kitchen party, Chef Neil Taylor from Home Block that's going to represent British Columbia?
He'll represent the Okanagan Valley.
Oh, the Okanagan, yeah.
A separate event in the Okanagan this
year.
That's
right,
yeah. Give the winery chefs some exposure. So, yeah, okay. So he'll be going to the Canadian Culinary Championship in Ottawa.
Yep.
If listeners are interested in seeing who's been winning in all the cities and sort of following along, you could go to the Great Kitchen Party website.
Okay. And the final is February 2 and 3 in Ottawa.
That's right, yeah. And we have three more events to do in Calgary tomorrow, Toronto next week, and then we end off in Saskatoon, which is always a great party, by the way.
Always.
Yeah.
David, always a pleasure to talk to you. I'm going to say get back to your desk and start writing those holiday columns.
Okay. Will do, Tony. Great talking. Thanks. For
year 50 of them. Thanks so much. David Laurison, always a pleasure to talk to David. Toronto-based wine journalist and, of course, heading up the wine selections for the Great Kitchen Wine Party. Up next, Andrea Vescovi. He's the ambassador for Italian wine distributor Ethica Wines. He talks Barolo from the historical standpoint of Casa e Mirafiori. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Attention wine connoisseurs. Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature controlled delivery available right to your door. Visit irongateauctions.com to start bidding now.
Penticton, the hub of the South Okanagan. A perfect place for a BC road trip this fall. Enjoy outdoor adventures and reward yourself after a day of activities with a visit to one of over 80 area wineries, cideries, and distilleries, or 8 craft breweries. Experience fantastic locally sourced restaurants, too. It's the perfect destination for a fall getaway with gorgeous changing colors and menus. Before you go, make sure to check the website for information on wine tours, winery events, and help planning your trip. Go to visitpenticton.com.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Most people have a casual connection with wine, as in they like to drink it. We think it's essential to read the label and whenever possible to connect with the people who make the wine. They energize you, and unlike many businesses, they'll answer most all of your questions about where the wine comes from and how it's made. Then the next time you pour a glass of wine, you'll realize it's more than just something you like to drink. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and wherever you are in your wine journey, we'll meet you at gismondionwine.com.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. We're back with a special shout out to AM 1150 Kelowna, right through to Bounce Radio Soyuz, and all 25 cities in total across the province listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Our guest is Andrea Vescovi of Ethica Wines. It's a U.S.-based Italian company selling some of the most interesting Italian wines in North America. Many of you will know Andrea from his sommelier days at Blue Water Cafe, but during the pandemic, he decided to move to a different side of the business. We caught up with Andrea at the Vancouver International Wine Festival earlier this year, where he was pouring the Piedmont wines of Casa e Mirafiori from the famed Barolo region of Serra Lunga in northern Italy. Here's our discussion with Andrea. Great to see you, Andre.
Always a pleasure, Tony.
Many people probably know you from the restaurant business in Vancouver, but you've moved out, I guess, post-pandemic.
Sort of. I mean, I opened up an Italian restaurant, Tutto, during the pandemic, which was a challenge in itself.
Yeah.
But I stepped away from the business a little bit. I started now. It's actually been a year yesterday.
Okay.
With Ethica Wine, so yeah. A bit of an anniversary.
Nice.
And, so it's been a lot of fun getting to know all these Italian brands once again. Which is kind of nice, huh? It's been great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great to see you and to have these wines in Vancouver. So what can you tell us about Mirafiore and what's the history? Where are they? And maybe set the stage.
So we're talking about Piemonte. We're in Serralunga. The property's in Serralunga. And the one thing about Casa Mirafiore, if you can really have one sentence, it's a window to the history of Italy. It really is. The once king of Italy owned this property.
Oh.
And he, when he passed away, he gave it to his son, Emanuele II.
Yeah.
And tragically, he passed away when he was 43.
Uh-huh.
But he was a lover of nature. He was a lover of wine. He built the Fontana Fredda and Mirafiore properties in Serralunga.
Okay.
Which is still there today.
Yeah.
Fast forward to the 20s and 30s, his family, obviously phylloxera hit Europe, hit the vineyard, Second World War broke out, they had to sell it, they had to sell the property, and for 100,000 lira at the time, which in today's price would probably be like, you know, who knows, maybe $2-3 million, it was a sacrifice of a sale. So it really wasn't until 2008 when Oscar Ferranetti, who's the owner of Eat Italy, purchased this property along with Fontana Fredda and Borgogno in 2008. He invested a lot of money into the better viticulture and cleaning up the winery, really. And, you know, we're really starting to see the fruits of his labor now. These wines are some of the best in Italy. The Italian government really recognized this and labeled Mirafiore in 2020 as one of the more historic top 200 brands in Italy.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Pretty prestigious list with, you know, Ferragamo, Gucci, and what have you.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
My guest is Andrea Vescovi. He's from Ethica Wines, and we're talking about Mirafiore wines. Now, you brought a Barolo and a Langhe. Langhe's having a moment. What would we say about Langhe? Like, what's happening there? Why is it so successful now?
You know, I think obviously it's the price point. You know, you can get this in retail shops in that $32 range. A lot of people can't afford some of the Barolos. You know, if a Barolo is in that 60 to 80 range, this is a great alternative. Just to have something that gives you that terroir identity of Langhe, of Barolo.
Which is part of the Barolo region.
Exactly.
For people listening, Langhe. So it's 100%
Nebbiolo? 100%
Nebbiolo. Is it made like a Barolo, or how would you describe it?
Vinification is, it doesn't see as much wood as, say, a Barolo. Like, this is about, you know, when we talk about wood, we're talking about botti. We're talking about size, you know, 10,000 liter barrels.
Yeah, right? Versus 250.
Exactly. It really is a holding vessel. It's not really imparting a lot of the wood into this wine.
Yeah.
So it's about 12 months in wood and then about another 8 months in bottle.
Savory, delicious style, dry wines.
Yeah.
I mean, Italian wines are dry, but these wines, they have some electricity in them as well.
In the tannic spectrum, if you have, you know, some of those California wines, this is the complete opposite, right?
Yeah.
We're having a lot of tannins, a lot of structure. And they're pretty. They're pretty wines. I think palates are changing a little bit, where we're starting to see people drink more drier, less alcohol wines, and this would kind of fit that bill.
Yeah. It also fits the bill of a Cabernet Sauvignon Napa drinker when young, who moves to Pinot Noir and eventually drinks Barolo by the end.
I think that's actually...
or Nebbiolo, I should say, yeah.
I think you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
That's exact. I mean, you know, listen, when I was younger, I used to love those wines, but my palate's changed a bit. I like something a little drier, and for sure Barolo is the way to go.
What can you tell people about Barolo, like in general? What's the layout there? And, you know, what are their crews? Or maybe go through the spectrum of Barolos.
Well, you know, Barolo is a fascinating area. Again, we have some vineyards in the township of Barolo, and we also have some vineyards in Serralunga, right? So if you can kind of split Barolo into two, the left and the right side, you have La Mora, which is a bit more elegant, and then you have Serralunga, which is a bit more of a powerful style.
Yeah.
And, you know, midfielder, we're lucky that we can source, you know, foods from both of those sites.
Yeah.
We have a crew, Barolo, which is a small vineyard that is about 6 acres in La Mora, which is called Payagallo. And then we also have a beautiful Serra Lunga vineyard, so namely one is quite famous called Lazarito. And that's about 12 acres. So it's, you know, we have the ability to get some amazing fruit.
So today you brought the Mirafiori Barolo, the 2016. I wouldn't say it's regular, but so this is just the normal Barolo from the property.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people call it Normale. The
Normale,
normal,
I like that
normal
better.
Normal Barolo.
Yeah.
There's nothing normal about it. This is fantastic. I mean, 2016, you know, when we talk about great vintages every year, especially in Bordeaux, you'll hear that, oh, this is one of the best vintages in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
When we talk about 2016 in Barolo, it really is.
I totally agree.
It's such a great vintage. The more I drink the 16s, I go, wow, this can really lay down for a number of years and just, you know, hybridate for a while.
Yeah.
Most of the fruit here is from our top Serra Lunga property vineyards. And you can really taste it. The tannin structure is just gorgeous. But it still has that fruit, you know. It's just a beautiful wine.
It's got the cherries. It's got the licorice. It's got a bit of tar. It's got the floral characteristics. Like, it's got the whole game.
Yeah, and those are the markers that you just mentioned. Like, if you know, your listeners love that style of wine, this is what to buy.
Yeah. What do people, what would you serve with Barolo? You're in the restaurant game for a long time.
Oh, wow.
So what's your choice, you know, for Nebbiolo or Barolo?
You can't go wrong with truffles.
Yeah, truffles. That's it. Let's stop the show now. Let's go find some truffles.
I tell you, we should get, you know, let's get Umberto here and get him to cook us some pasta.
Yeah, exactly, with a little truffle.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can do some nice pappardelle, olive oil, truffle butter sauce. I think you're in heaven.
Yeah.
The beauty about these wines is they have, you know, some really good acidity. And honestly, this wine screams food. When I'm at home and I drink a Barolo, the food really accentuates it.
Yeah. Okay, so just a little bit about Ethica. What's that all about?
So Ethica, it's an Italian company. We're based in Miami, USA.
Okay.
But we partner up with Select Wines. They distribute our wines across Canada.
All right.
We have about 12 wineries that are currently in the market, and we represent most of the regions in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from Sicily all the way up to Tuscany and Piemonte.
Yeah, but it's kind of very hand-selected, no?
Very hand-selected. You know, sustainability is always forefront for us.
Yeah.
We try to work with producers that are very passionate. And you'll see this in Mirafiore. You know, Anselmi is another producer of ours that we carry from Veneto. And we just try to work with people that have the same passions as we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Andrea, it's great to see you. Great to see you outside of the restaurant.
I know.
Is it fun to be served by people now rather than serve people?
You know, I do miss the hustle and bustle of the restaurants. My girlfriend always tells me, would you stop looking around when I go out?
Oh, yeah. It's so hard, not to just accept what the service is. Or
My knees and my legs love that I'm at home more.
Yeah, I bet.
But my waistline doesn't.
There you go. Andrea, great to see you. Thanks for stopping by.
Tony, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
That was Andrea Vescovi, Ethica Wines brand ambassador for Casa e Mirafiori. Don't forget, Italy will be the theme region at the 2024 Vancouver International Wine Festival. Tickets are on sale November 15th at vanwinefest.ca. That's it for this week's show. Special thanks to our technical producer in Vancouver, Dwayne Bishop, assignment editor, Sherry Caleb, and director of operations, Stu Ferguson. For all of us at the show, I'm Anthony Gismondi, wishing you a great week ahead and an even better glass of wine.
That's it for today's show. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.